Shoftim Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Daled. So Osniel ben Kenaz has defeated Kiryat Sefer, has brought back all the halachos forgotten during the Shloshim of Moshe, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and soon to be the next Shofet of Klal Yisrael, and has one Achsa Bas Kalev, the daughter of Kalev, Achsa, who is now his wife. And we mentioned back in Yehoshua, where this story was first told, Achsa, from the word Kaas, from the word anger, the Chazal said in the Gemara in Tmura that talks about this episode that any man who saw Achsa got married, got angry with his own wife, Achsa, that he became angry. Why aren't you as beautiful as Achsa is? But what almost all the Chazal tell us is that it's not that they were angry because of physical beauty per se. They were angry because her midos were unbelievable and her perception was tremendous. And that comes through in this one short story told in the next few psukim, Pasuk Yudalid, Vayhi Bavoa. And so it was when she came, so meaning when she came into marriage and when they were going to then get land, which the Kalev had promised them, Batasisehu Lishol Me'es Abiha Hasada. And so she began to work on her husband Osniel, and she persuaded Osniel to ask her father for a field. And we'll see momentarily, Osniel was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was a real Kol guy. But the problem was, he was not so connected to practical matters. His wife was a much, much more practical person. And she realized, what are we going to live off of? I understand you're a Luftmensch, you're working with Tyra and with great Svara, but we also need to make a living and we're going to have kids. We need to support them as well. So she said, I need you to ask my father for a field. Had Osniel asked for any kind of dowry, he certainly would have gotten it. But instead he asked for nothing. His only desire was to learn to keep the mitzvot Hashem. He didn't crave wealth. He was very excited at the privilege of marrying, well, actually his niece, his half-niece, since Kalev is his half-brother and Achsa is the daughter. But he wasn't really concerned with practical matters. So she said, you better ask for a field. Batitznach me al ha-chamor. But apparently, Osniel didn't do the job directly. And so she went to see her father herself. And so she jumped off the donkey that she was riding to get there. Batitznach, she alighted, she jumped off, descended. Vayomer lo Kalev malach. And Kalev said, what do you want? And we went through this in Yehoshua as well. But Kalev realizes that she's got something, obviously, that she wants. Osniel had asked for a small field that wasn't worth very much, and Kalev gave him exactly what he'd asked for. He didn't want to embarrass him by offering him more than he had asked for. And in the meantime, Achsa is saying, look, there's nothing rude about a dowry. That's a traditional, automatic part of marrying off a daughter. And what she realized was that this small field, and the man Lois explains, eventually Osniel might blame her for getting him into a bad deal, that he took a bad field, but eventually it would be all her fault. So she went to her father herself and jumped off the donkey, ran over to him, and he didn't understand why she's so upset. So when he said, Malach, you know, what do you want? It doesn't necessarily have to come across that way. It might be more along the lines of, what is wrong? Are you displeased with being married to Osniel? Batomer lo, hava li v'racha. And so she said to him, give me a blessing, give me a bracha. And she's not just referring to a general bracha, she's referring to the dowry inheritance of the field. Ki eretz ha-negev nesatani, because you have given me dry land, parched land. V'nosata li gulos moyim, give me springs of water. V'yiten lo kolev es gulos ilis. And so Kalev gave her the upper springs, ilis, ole, on top. V'es gulos tachtis, and lower springs as well. And the Chazal explained this entire story as being about a lot more than just a dry piece of land. What she was complaining, Rashi explains, is that when she said that the Eretz HaNegev, dry land, or a dry husband, or the portion was dry, dried up from all good, Rashi says, a man who has nothing in him except Torah, which is wonderful, but that's not a way to make a living in Derech Eretz as well as in Derech Ruchnias. When Kalev gives her the upper springs, these gulos from Giloy, from revelation, from revealing, Osniel was the one the Gemara explains to whom the secrets of the upper realms and the lower realms were revealed. He is also called Yaivitz, which is a phrase used, Gvul Yaivitz, a Torah teacher in Klal Yisrael, a Yud Ayin Beis Sadi Yaivitz, and that's him. And this concession that Achso got, considering that in Divrei HaYomim, Kalev is listed as having at least 15 sons, is an important issue that this dowry should be done. This may have been her only claim against her father's estate. This may be some of the Chazal connected to Benos Tzlafchad, that the women had to speak up on their own behalf, because otherwise the property might only be transmitted through sons and they would get very little. What the Mefarshim also point out is that even though she asked for only one water source, Kalev gave her two, showing that he wanted overflowing bracha for them, not just kind of a token answer, but an overflowing bracha. And there is a writer, a tremendous, tremendous statement about Achso. It's really beautifully done. Brought down, I think Rabbi Beryl Wein brings it down, a woman named Heidi Sisbeck, who says, with the period of settlement came a change in the social and marriage structures. The Shevet, the tribe, was no longer the main social unit. Instead, the focus was on the household. The tribes were called upon when there were external threats during the era of the Shoftim. But everyday life revolved around the household unit. Achso had the foresight to realize what her household would need to survive during this changing time. Her story is a metaphor and a case study for societal transition through the aesthetic device of verbal repetition, adding another dimension to this multifunctional historical narrative. Fancy speech, but very, very perceptive in the sense that the Isha is called the bias. And when we get married even today, the idea of the bias Neman bi Yisrael, the three-way partnership between the father, the mother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu for each child born into the family, that is a tremendous statement about the importance of the bias. Achso realizes this in a tremendously thoughtful and overt, again, perceptive way, that this is the future of Klal Yisrael, that this is the future of her household, that Osniel ben Kenaz can handle the Torah aspects and the Ruchnias aspects and the Torah teaching aspects of Yaivitz, but somebody has to make sure that the bias is going to be intact. And this is not a statement about females' roles and economic and social position, but it is a statement about how the Chazal viewed the bias and why the wife is so important, and why particularly Achso was so important, that in a manner of speaking, she aroused envy among other couples that saw her, because her understanding of the centrality of what their family would be and what the family would need to survive no matter what made her truly special and truly forward-thinking at a time when Klal Yisrael is denoted by disunity. The household becomes ever more important, especially when we'll see throughout the Sefer how much Avodah Zarah and disintegration of commitment to Hashem sometimes happens behind closed doors in the household. Think about the stories in the case of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who thought Klal Yisrael was worthy and brought us into war against Paro because he said Klal Yisrael is worthy. And how was Klal Yisrael doing Avodah Zarah? By having doors that close to form the shape of an idol. That's within your house, where you have taken the holiness of the house and you have let go of it and turned it into something else. And Achso was the opposite of that. So a tremendous story worth telling twice before we go on, weiter, into the unfortunate lack of success in Eretz Yisrael. As we move forward, where we're supposed to be Yoresh all of these Kenanim, and we never quite finish the job.